McKenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
And good morning, and welcome back to Happy Hour, another edition of Happy Hour here on K104 with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci. I am Frankenberry, and I just want to give you all the heads up that Jonna has been surprising the pants off of Carol and I every single week. Because we say to her, Jonna, do you have anything today? And last week, for instance, she said, well, I have a complaint. And Carol and I went, oh my God, where did that come from? Well, John actually has something again to talk about, but prepare yourselves, audience. Sit down if you're not already sitting. It ain't a complaint.
Oh.
And Frankenberry, your pants are much easier to surprise off because aren't they usually sweatpants?
Oh, they are usually sweatpants, but today they're even easier because I'm wearing shorts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you'll be wearing shorts now till November. We know you.
Exactly. It's shorts till November now, and then it's sweatpants from that point on until now.
Right. No, we got it. We got the sketch.
Yep.
All right. So I have something very interesting that I want to run by you. And it comes with a little bit of a quiz as well. And that is, okay, so this past weekend was very nice. You guys might know that. And I happened to be out on the rail trail, which is, you know, a nice place to walk and run when it's nice outside. And
Were you showing your whale's tail on the rail trail?
No, it's a little early in the season for that. So yeah, no.
All right. Okay.
But now, so I was there with my much younger paramour, and sometimes like I will run and he will walk. So we'll separate for a bit and then circle back and then we'll catch up with each other and we'll be out there for a few hours. And that happened. And when we caught back up with each other, he said to me, you know, there's a sign down, a quarter mile or so on this trail that says free cookies with an arrow. What do you think about that? And I said, free cookies with an arrow.
My God, it sounds like the Brothers Grimm.
I was going to say, it sounds like somebody's, you know, committing murder and enticing people like me and you with the free cookies to get us in the cottage where they're going to, burn our faces off with acid and no one's ever going to find us again. So so I couldn't help, but I had to see this free cookie situation for myself. So off we go. And sure enough, it was like, I could have, you know, was there a candid camera somewhere around? Because I watched from afar as people walked up, you know, if you've been on the rail trail, they have these benches periodically, quite a few actually. And on a bench in the woods with a house kind of on the outskirts, not a house, a building on the outskirts, there was a box with a sign that said free cookies and an arrow. And people would walk up and they'd look in the box as if the cookies logically would be in the box, but they weren't in the box. You had to walk. You had to walk like a little path through a little kind of woody section to this building and get your free cookies.
Well, what was the point of the box? What was in the box?
Nothing was in the box. Was just holding up the sign
that said,
"Come get your face acid washed off."
But at least the weather's nice.
Oh my God.
So now it gets better because I watch as these people go and they do this free cookie thing and they go through the woods and they come out with bags of these giant bakery size cookies. And I'm like, this is not for real. Like, this has got to be some sort of joke. So I get closer, but I'm too cool to do the cool to the free cookie thing. And I say to my much younger paramour, go see where that goes. Like,
of course you did.
You go get your face acided off. I'm not. You go.
Oh,
so he goes.
God.
So he goes. And sure enough, there was a guy like it was like the back of a building. He and Eric said it looked like it was a kind of like a bakery-ish, but not a like a maybe a commercial bakery, not one that you would just walk in and buy stuff. And there was a guy there manning a table, and the table had these giant cookies on it, and you could fill up bags for free and then go on your way.
Wow.
So Eric actually did that. And I said, if you eat one of those darn cookies, I'm not going to save you. I will not save you when you start vomiting rat poison. So now here we are. Now I feel guilty because he took a bag full of these cookies. We didn't eat them. We did not eat them. They sat on my counter for 2 days until I finally had to dispose. Now, my question for you guys is, would you eat those cookies?
Whew. I'm going to let Frankie go first.
It's not easy. It's not easy, is it?
You're just like Jonna. She lets the younger paramour go first to get his face acided off, and you're letting me go first into this quagmire of an answer to a Jonna Spillboard question. Thanks. Appreciate you having my back. Anyway, with me, now, when you said the younger paramour said that it was actually like a commercial bakery, what I'm thinking is these free cookies... I remember there was a Fryhoffer's place that I used to be able to go to that you could actually buy their like day old bread, you know, their day old cookies, the stuff that had just expired and you could buy it for cheap. So I'm thinking if this is like maybe a commercial cookie place, that might be what he's doing. It might be stuff that they can't sell any longer, but it's still good. And he's saying, hey, just come grab it before I toss it. Now, on the other hand, I ain't doing it.
You know, and I got to say, they looked good. I'm not going to lie to you. These cookies looked delicious. And, you know, like they were real cookies, not like anything funny baked in them. But, yeah, big no for me. So big no from you, Frank and Barry. Big no for me. Curly, what do you think?
Oh, I don't know. I feel like it would depend on the circumstance. Like if you're in some back alley and it's like sitting on top of a cardboard box and, you know, definitely not. A commercial bakery and a person there, a human handing them out, I'd be inclined to ask what the story is. Because have you heard anything on the news since then about 85 people dying on the rail trail?
It's so funny that you said that because when we were debating whether Eric was going to eat a cookie, I said, you know, we haven't heard anybody foaming at the mouth on the rail trail, so they're probably okay, but I wasn't going for it.
And John, a future reference. I don't know if you can actually hear somebody foaming at the mouth. Now, you might hear the person next to them that didn't eat a cookie screaming their ass off, but I don't think you're going to hear the actual person who ate the cookie foaming at the mouth.
And it was so, yeah. See, I was so torn. It was so torn. And it conjured up a memory. And this is a true story. And this is probably why I avoid free food at all costs. Even when people go to like whatever Costco or BJ's or wherever they give out the free samples. I remember I was like 4 and I lived in a very Italian neighborhood, not far from here in the city of Poughkeepsie. And the only reason why it's important to note that it was an Italian neighborhood is because Italians like to cook and they like to eat. I know because I am one. So, well, forget the cooking part. So one day we lived in this apartment across the street from my grandmother. And on the bottom floor of this apartment was a nice older, also Italian gentleman who I think he lost his wife or whatever. And he liked to cook and he liked to eat. And one day me and my cousins were out playing and he's like, hey, come here, little girls. And back then you didn't think about, you know, anything. So we went over and he was handing out pot roast, like fresh off the stove. And so we ate some and then we went about our business. No big deal. Well, when I went home and told my mother that I ate some pot roast from the guy in the apartment on the first floor, you would have thought I committed some sort of murder. She went ballistic. And so to the point where I went into the bathroom, took a washcloth and started to wash my tongue. Like, she had me so afraid. She had me so afraid, you guys, that I was going to die, that I tried to wash my tongue with a washcloth. And it traumatized me forever and ever, ever and ever. And he was a nice guy, you know, I guess. Anyway, so yeah. Conjured memories of that. I'll never eat free anything offered to me for that reason. It's all my mother's fault.
well, then maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah. Hey, look, I've worked in radio stations for a long time. People drop off food all the time. I've never eaten it.
All the time. Oh, you never have?
No, I mean, unless I actually know the person who has dropped it off, I'm not eating it. I'm just not. And my apologies to anybody who had nice intentions when they dropped off that plate of cookies for everybody in the building. I don't know you. I'm not eating it. But now you see, I've got kind of a story like that, John, is, you know, the main reason I'm not going to touch anything that I don't know where it came from is I used to bartend at a place in Morgantown when I went to WVU. And the bar that I worked at, there was a bar underneath us. I got done with my shift early, and I think it was a Saturday, and I think it might have been somebody's birthday. And I went downstairs to the bar underneath to grab a beer before I went home. So I'm down there, and it was, you know, a celebration of some type, and there were brownies. And you can probably tell where this story is going.
Yes, I can.
Yes. Now, I don't do those things. Now, look, I've had habits in my life. Believe me. And I'm way too big a fan of beer. But there is some stuff I don't do. And that's one of them. Well, apparently, these brownies were loaded up with hash.
Oh, no.
And because I don't do these things, and because I didn't know what the hell was happening, I ended up having to be carried to somebody's car. My roommate at the time put me in his bed because my room was upstairs in the house that we lived in. He put me in his bed and he slept on the couch so he could keep an eye on me. And I was down for 2 days.
Whoa.
It threw me for a loop. My brain went places I didn't want my brain to go. And it was awful. So, yeah, I'm not touching anything that I don't know where it's come from. Hey, look, did my mother cook that? No, she didn't. Good. Go away.
Well, that came with a warning.
Yeah. That's all right. I was kind of thinking that before with the whole cookie thing. Now that, you know, marijuana is legalized in New York, that could be a potential thing too. Wow, Frankie Berry, that's scary.
Well, it was scary because I didn't know what it was. You know what I mean? You know, and because my body was not accustomed to any of that kind of crap. You know, like I said, I was big on beer in college, but I wasn't big on anything else.
Yeah. They should have. And I wonder if how did you find out that it was hash as opposed to maybe it was something else? Like,
well, no, because my roommate went back and asked what the hell was it? Because I told him, I said, dude, the only thing I ate all day was one of those freaking brownies. I was coming home to dinner.
Oh.
So he went back and found out. And well, I'm sure somebody got a piece of his mind as well.
Do you think it makes a difference if somebody brings you a homemade goodie versus, like, sometimes we have people stop at the office and they'll bring us a box of donuts from the Dunkin' Donuts as a nice little surprise. Like, does that matter to you? Does it, you know, would you eat that food if it's dropped off at the station or nothing? Everything's off limits.
I mean, I'd probably be more inclined especially if I knew the person for, you know, donuts from Dunkin' Donuts, but, you know, doesn't mean people ain't got syringes.
No, yeah.
I know. See, this is the world. And you know what? And it's not just the world we live in now, because you remember back in the day, Jonna, Carol, you know, the whole not tainted, but the whole poisoned aspirin thing.
I don't know.
Don't you remember years ago where somebody had poisoned some like aspirin or Tylenol or whatever it was in some stores, and people were taking it and dying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know?
I remember it fine.
So,
I don't
anything else uplifting you guys want to talk about?
Yeah, happy Sunday morning, everybody.
Well, I'll just take it in a slightly different direction. So we won't talk about being poisoned and dying, but have you ever had somebody drop off some sort of food, or maybe you go to like a potluck, or what do you call those things when you bring your own food to a party? Is like that a potluck?
A covered dish?
It's potluck, but I can't imagine you ever going to a potluck party. So why are you acting like you know what you're talking about here?
Well, because I have been to potluck parties where I have to actually make it look like I'm engaging in the potluck, but I'm not, because if you ever have somebody bring in food, no, my mother doesn't do potluck. But if you have an animal at home and you make a dish and it has a little bit of fur in it, that ain't a potluck. That's a petluck. And that has happened to me before.
You have taken a plate of food to somebody's potluck dinner with dog hair in it?
No, I have.
No, she's been the recipient.
Yes.
Ooh.
I know. And then I told you guys about that one time when I went on that date with the guy from law school, and he had a big black dog, a lab or whatever, breed's not important. And he was cooking dinner for me, and he made this special, I don't know, like cheese fondue, some camembert or some crap with wine and cheese. And he comes out, and we're sitting at his table, and he puts this pot in the center of his table, and I am kidding you not, the entire outside of the pot was covered in black lab hair. The entire outside. Not kidding.
So here's my question.
Dead on the ground? Okay.
No. We're coming up on our 10th anniversary doing the show. Why have you never told us this before? This is better than breaking up with somebody for mayonnaise on the lip.
Yeah. You know, the mayonnaise on the lip or the slipping of the salad, that's nothing compared to a freaking dog hair wrapped around a pot looking like some sort of weird-ass margarita.
I could have swore I told yous. Could have swore.
No, I'd remember it.
Yeah, me too.
Maybe I put it out of my brain. Maybe a dim. Yeah, that was disgusting. That was absolutely disgusting. And I remember his name too. I'm not going to say it because I'm sure he is nowhere near New York and probably doesn't listen to the show. I'm not going to do it, but it scarred me for life.
You know what, Jonna?
You
probably developed some sort of syndrome because of that.
Oh, wait a minute. Frankenberry, did you catch the Sagu? Did you hear me?
No, and that's, wait, you know, my apologies. Right. That's something with Zoom here. And it always happens with Carol and I, not as much Jonna, but like the not quite hearing the others, you know, just a slight delay kind of thing. So no, listen, go ahead, Carol. Repeat what you said.
No, wait.
I did not hear it.
No, this was so good. I'm going to rewind. I'm going to repeat the last sentence I said, because you got to get the full effect. So Frankenberry, you just sit there and be quiet. Okay. Ready? Okay. Blah, blah, blah. And it scarred me for life.
So are you saying you're a mental mess because of it?
Boom! That was awesome.
Boom!
That was good. Okay. So in case you didn't recognize it, folks, that was another brilliant Sagu, because coming up, after this break, we are going to be talking with Dr. Carolyn Leap, who is the author of a book entitled, wait for it, Cleaning Up Your Mental Mess. 5 simple scientifically proven steps to reduce anxiety, stress, and toxic thinking. And you know, I cannot wait to talk to her, because I think a lot of people have a mental mess that we don't even realize we got. So when we come back from the break, we're going to be talking with author, speaker, scientist, Dr. Carolyn Leap.
All right. That is what we have on the way. Thank you, Jonna. And we are going to make an attempt to clean up some mental messes. And you know what? We've got plenty to throw at her.
Yeah, we do.
You know, maybe she can help us. We'll just all get on the couch with the doc. That's on the way. You are listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilborn and Carol Pesci, and we will return. This is K104.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And we are back here at Happy Hour with Jonna Spilborn and Carol Pesci. And it is time now to get to our guest. Of course, that is what we always do in segment number 2 here. And we have Dr. Caroline Leaf with us today. And Jonna, I think you have a glowing introduction for us.
I do have a glowing introduction, but I also have to explain something before I launch into my glowing introduction. We have a lot of smart guests on this show, as you know, and the smarter they are, the harder it is for me to shorten their intros so that we can spend some time talking to them. Now, it was a challenge for me today, but I'm going to give it a shot. So here we go. Okay. On the line with us today, we have Dr. Caroline Leaf, who is a communication pathologist and cognitive neuroscientist who's an expert in the study of the mind-brain connection, the nature of mental health, and the formation of memory. She was one of the first in her field to study neuroplasticity, one of my favorite subjects, by the way, which is the science of how the brain can change with direct mind input. During her years in clinical practice and her work with thousands of underprivileged teachers and students in her home country of South Africa and the U.S., she developed her theory called I'll probably mispronounce it, the geodesic information processing theory. Wow. Of how we think, build memory, and learn to transform the lives of hundreds of thousands of individuals with traumatic brain injury, learning disabilities like ADD and ADHD, autism, dementia, and mental ill health issues like anxiety and depression. So after all that, she's decided to write quite a few books, and her latest is called Cleaning Up Your Mental Mess: 5 Simple Scientifically Proven Steps to Reduce Anxiety, Stress, and Toxic Thinking. Dr. Caroline Leaf, how'd I do?
Brilliantly. I'm super impressed. You even got you didn't get tongue-tied around the words. Well done. I need to make you say the word logopedics, because that's what my BSc is in, and most people skip that word because that's a hard one.
Oh, yeah. I skip that right away. But we are so glad to have you on the show, because this stuff, I know this sounds like it can make people's heads spin, but this is really about literally how to stop your head from spinning. If you think about it, let's talk about cleaning up your mental mess. What is the book about?
Well, that you're quite right. It is what people are. It, all those fancy words basically mean that what I've done is spend 38 years researching how to manage our minds. And considering the fact that our minds are pretty much okay to be messy. It's okay to be messy, but we need to manage that mess. So what we see is that our, and I'm going to give you a fancy word in the translation, our psychoneurobiology, which is the mind-brain-body connection, is actually handles messiness, but it's designed to be not to stay in a mess, but to manage that mess. So what that means, it's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to feel depressed. It's okay to experience anxiety. These are not illnesses. They're not that you're a broken brain or have a neuropsychiatric brain disease or something jumping out your brain. It's just you being a human in life, experiencing adverse circumstances, and everything you experience with your mind. Your mind is your experiencer. Your mind is how you experience what is going on around you. And when you're dead, you don't experience it anymore because you're dead. So your mind is this aliveness, this ability to experience the experiences of life and then process that and then put that into the brain. So the brain is kind of where we store that experience, build the memory of that experience in a very physical way, which is the neuroplasticity, building thoughts and so on. And then the brain tells every cell of the body to store a representation of that thought. And then we have this whole mind, brain, body of a storage of what we've experienced. And then that becomes how we speak about it, how we show up in the world, what we say, what we do. So for example, I talk about mental health and all this brain stuff. And it's because I've spent years experiencing that, studying it, researching it, putting that into my brain, building these thought trees in my brain, the DNA representations in my body, the gravitational representations in my mind, and all of that combined enables me to speak about this stuff. If I didn't do this, I couldn't speak about it. That's basically how simple it is. So the book is taking these very mysterious concepts of what is consciousness and all these questions and what is mental health and all these things that are seemingly quite scary and only able to be managed by so-called professionals. I take all of that away and say, hey, you're human, you have a mind, you can go 3 weeks without water, without food, you can go 3 days without water, you can go 3 minutes without oxygen, but you don't even go 3 seconds without your mind driving your entire functioning, your brain, your body, your digestive system, everything in your body. Your aliveness is your mind. And it's everything that you experience is going through your mind, into your brain, into your body, and out through what you say and what you do. So we've got that route is what I'm trying to help people understand. And in that process of doing it, just think of it like this. You don't know what's coming up in the next 5 minutes. You don't know what's coming up after this interview. You can't control people, events, or circumstances. So we actually live like little researchers. All humans are like little researchers, hypothesizing and reacting and responding. And sometimes we get mad, and sometimes we get irritated, and sometimes we react in the right way, and sometimes we have a terrible trauma, and everyone experiences trauma to different degrees, and we react in the only way we can to cope. And sometimes that is all part of life. So it's very experimental, and that's where the messy mind comes in. We are neurobiologically psycho, neurobiologically mind, brain, body. We are designed to make the messes, to hypothesize, to experiment. But then we also designed to evaluate that and repair it and grow from it. And so it's the messy mind with the wise mind, which is mind management, which has been the focus of my research and how to do that in a very deep clinical sense with all the like major issues, war trauma. I've worked in war-torn countries, and I've worked in apartheid-driven South Africa. I've worked in the wealthiest of schools. I've worked with CEOs of top companies. We all got a mind. We all need to manage our mind. So taking it from the most clinical to the day-to-day application to everyone has a mind at every age. If you're alive, we need to manage it. And that's pretty much what the book is, how this whole mind thing works and how to clean up, how to do, make sure that you are having the mess, being okay with the mess, but owning the mess and cleaning it up. Does that make sense?
It makes a tremendous amount of sense.
Yes.
And I'm really pleased that you're using the word, and this really resonates with me. You're using the word basically management, managing the anxiety, managing the things that are going on in your head. And that it leads me to want to ask you two questions. And again, I'm notorious for asking the stupid questions on the show, so I'm not going to stop today.
I'm sure your question's not going to be stupid. It's probably going to be so valid. So shoot.
Okay. Well, actually, Doc, you need to listen to some old shows.
All right. Well, so here it's a two-part question, but they're kind of related. Like, so at the very root of all of this, I want to know how people know when they are suffering something that requires management. Like sometimes how do you know when you have anxiety versus a toxic thought? And part two of that is, how do you know that if you are able to manage those thoughts, meaning I'm going to assume you go from feeling bad to good, how do you know you're not just stuffing them down and putting them in denial or being in denial about them? How do you know that you've managed them versus ignored them? Is that...
Those are brilliant questions. I want to tell you they're very, very brilliant questions because of so essentially, yeah, a thought is a real thing. It's a product of our mind. So let's talk about COVID because everyone's talking about COVID. So okay. COVID is a... The world, the environment was COVID and the reaction, the pandemic and all the changes. Okay, so that's what we as humans were in that environment of for the last 12 months. And each of us processed that with our minds into our brains in our own unique way. So think of a tree. A tree has a root system and it has branches and a tree trunk. So as the pandemic started, think of the little seed being sown, and then each day as the new experiences were happening, we were growing. All that information was growing into the root system of the trees. So the experience of COVID, what we were inputting into our brain through our mind, through this, and our mind is how we think, feel, choose. So the steps of processing are immersion, and then think, feel, choose. Think, feel, choose. You do that at 400 billion actions per second. You're doing that right now as I'm talking. You're taking my words and you are converting them through think, feel, choose, your mind, and it's all these gravitational fields and electromagnetic light forces and things, and you are putting them into your brain, and it's causing a neurochemical and genetic reaction and electromagnetic reaction, and it's making proteins, and my words are vibrating in those proteins, and the proteins are making branches, and the more I say, the more root system you are growing with my words. But at exactly the same time, simultaneously, you grow a little tree trunk and you grow branches, which are above the ground. And those are your interpretation of what I'm saying based on your experiences, your belief systems, what you do know, what you, all the things you've had, everything. And that's unique to each person. So each person has their own unique perception. And we see this reflected in the brain structure. Besides the two hemispheres and different lobes and all the different structures, we have this organization of 200 different structures in the brain, and each with their connecting systems, and they're different for every human. So each and every one of us has our own interpretation of COVID. So there's the experience of COVID. So it's kind of common in the root system, but the branches are interpretation of it. Now that is a thought tree. It's a product. It's made of proteins in exactly the same way as the COVID virus is made of proteins. So now because it's a toxic experience, it's a toxic thought. We know that the COVID virus produces an immune response because this toxic COVID virus is creating a threat to our survival. So the immune system responds to fight it. A toxic thought, a toxic trauma, two different types of toxic things. The trauma is obviously a little bit more damaging than the toxic thought, but both are made of proteins that the brain immune system recognizes, hey, this is a threat to survival. So it's exactly the same way as it would send out T lymphocytes and B lymphocytes and macrophages and all that stuff, the soldiers of the immune system to fight the COVID virus. It's sending it out to fight the toxic thought or the toxic trauma, which is a wiry looking tree versus a nice healthy tree. Think of a big, ugly, wiry tree with rotten apples and whatever visual you want. Think of it like that. But it's real and it's creating an immune response. And it's also creating a downplay into the hormones. So you get low-grade inflammation and it's affecting your DNA down to the level of telomeres. So it's aging your cells. And so every experience becomes that and sets a vulnerable state in your brain and your body, because not only is it stored in your brain, but also you get that representation in the DNA as well. And we have 37 to 100 trillion cells in our brain and our body. And that's why we hear so much about the traumas in the body. Everything's in the body because it's in the brain and the body and the mind, three places. And so that's why it's such a huge experience when we re-experience traumas and things like that. Okay, so now that's kind of the picture that we're painting. This stuff is real. So it's physically real. It's a real experience. And it produces signals. So anything that threatens our survival, our immune system fights, our body fights, and our mind fights. And the way that we are made aware as humans of what's going on in our mind is through signals. So we need to become like detectives, thought detectives. We need to start becoming, mind management involves the process of self-regulating signals. What is a signal? It's looking at the patterns in your life. Is there excess depression? Are you having constantly the same battles in relationships at work or at home? Is there higher levels of anxiety or panic attack? What has changed? What are the patterns? What are you doing consistently that's interfering with your ability to function? And the most obvious ones will pop up first and you'll work on those. And then the other ones that are less obvious will naturally start growing out of it. And this is a lifelong mind management process because your mind's always working. So now having said that is as we experience the experience and we go through the COVID, the trauma, the bullying, the toxic habit we form in that marriage relationship, which is so common that we form little bad habits and things, whatever it is, if we don't deal with them, that's the messy mind. Constantly staying there creates, because the immune system, the principle is this, the immune system is there to protect us. The body's there to work for you. Any toxic virus, any toxic thought, any toxic trauma that is not dealt with, that is suppressed and pushed down, hoping that you'll forget and move on, it doesn't go away. They're like mini volcanoes. They will explode. At some point, at some time, they are going to explode. So you can never just shove something down and suppress it. And the signals to know whether you are suppressing or whether you are dealing is to look at the signals of your life. And the signals are clues, like a detective looks at clues to find out the source of the murder or whatever the issue is that they're investigating. You need to look at yourself, stand back and observe your own thinking, which is something that we also designed to do. And then you look at the patterns, and those patterns are signals, and the signals are in four categories. So you look at your emotional patterns, emotional warning signals, like depression, anxiety, panic attacks. You look at the behavior ones, how your behavior is changing. You look at your physical ones, what's going on in your body. Is there an increased problem with GI symptoms or a lot of heart palpitations or whatever? What is your perspective signal? Is your life perspective towards life changed? Do you see life sucks? Is it difficult waking up in the morning? In other words, you objectively stand back and observe your own thinking, and you give yourself, in that process, you're giving yourself permission to have a messy mind, because most of us don't. The narrative of today's mental health is that you've got a brain disease. If you've got any of these symptoms, there's something wrong with you. You're broken. There's an illness. You've got a dysfunctional brain. But that's not true. You are just a human who's just experienced adverse life experiences. It's processed through your mind into your brain. So your brain and body have been affected as a result of, but that doesn't mean you're broken. It means you've gone through something. So you've got to be kind to yourself. You've got to give yourself permission. Hey, it's okay to make a mess. It's okay. I own that. I own the guilt. I own the shame. I own the ugly words I've said. I own the reactions. I own it all objectively, kindly, because that is something that I've gone through. It's how I've reacted. So let me be a thought detective and let me find out out why I'm doing this by listening to those signals and then going through the process of becoming a thought detective to find the root causes. So it's embracing and processing and reconceptualizing. It's a deconstructing and reconstructing process. If you keep suppressing, the signals get louder and louder and louder. The body signals, the depression increases, the panic attacks increases, the volcanic explosions in your life increase. So those are all the things that how you are showing up are telling you, I've got suppressed stuff. I've got stuff I need to deal with. It's your brain, mind, and body screaming at you to say, hey, be a detective. Take control, and it's okay because you're human. It's okay to have a messy mind. Let's just let the messy mind work with the wise mind, which is our instinctive survival, wired for love mode. And when we do that, we can then manage it. And that's kind of how we live life, should be living life.
Dr. Leaf, this is Carol. This is all brilliant. And Jonna and I are avid readers and understand most of what you're saying. For someone listening for the first time, conceptually, you're helping us understand this mind-body connection, how the things that we think and experience affect us emotionally, mentally, physically. Mm-hmm. You're advocating, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, for, and I am 100% with you here because I have learned the hard way, that the difficult things that we think or experience aren't meant to be suppressed and hidden and ignored because they will backfire.
Yeah.
And what's healthier is to acknowledge, raise your awareness, and process the things that we go through. One of the things that I love about what you've done with your book is you've taken something that, as you acknowledge, can be messy, feel very complicated, and you've broken it down to five simple steps. So someone's hearing what you're talking about for the first time. This is new to them. Maybe they're dealing with anxiety, maybe a sense of overwhelm. Maybe they're having physical symptoms that they can't identify where they're coming from. And maybe it's their thoughts and suppressed thoughts and feelings that are the cause. Where do they begin? What's a practical step? Where's the first place someone can start to unravel their messy mind and better process what they're going through?
Okay, excellent question. Okay, so over 38 years, I had to try and work out. It started with me 38 years ago in practice with people with traumatic brain injuries, war trauma, various different things that were so complicated. And I was trained just to teach people to compensate, and I did not like those, what I was trained in. And so I started investigating and trying to find a way of how can we manage our minds. Bottom line, for whatever it is that we have the need for, whatever extreme to maybe minor situation, like just managing an argument before you go on air or something like that, or in on air dealing with difficult people, or just in life, little things. So the big and the small. So the system of the five steps is actually not a technique. You can put any technique you want into that. You can use any, and there's so many CBT techniques and ACT and positive, I mean, the positive psychology. There's a million techniques out there that all have their place, but people use them like positive affirmations and things to try and just, you know, put a band-aid on the wound or band-aid on the bullet wound, as one of my friends says, which doesn't work. We have to understand why we show up like we do, deconstruct and reconstruct. So that's the philosophy, the sort of overarching philosophy. The second thing is that we need to be very kind to ourselves. I cannot stress how important it is. There's so much research, including mine, including stuff recently coming out of Texas and University of Japan. There are thousands of studies showing that the way you view yourself and the emotions and things that you are experiencing of like really feeling burdened, overwhelmed, overstressed, you know, all the stuff that people talk about and which have really, you know, increased a lot over, like, sort of everyone has anxiety, everyone has depression, everyone has 100% of humans will have those, but we have acute situations where they get worse. So the statistics sort of look that like 30% of people will have acute bouts of anxiety that they need help to manage, and then in the pandemic, that's increased threefold. So everyone has anxiety, but the number of people that feel like it's overwhelming them has increased significantly. So the main thing here is that I want people to recognize that that is okay. That is very, very normal to experience these extreme reactions in these extreme situations. The second thing is to be so, so kind to yourself. When you are kind to yourself, you actually shift 1,400 neurophysiological responses in the brain and body. Wow. And mind for you, not against you. One simple one is that your blood flow, your blood vessels around your heart will dilate, which means that you'll have more blood flow to your brain and more oxygen to your brain. You will reduce hypertension, which is vital. You will send a signal to your kidneys to calm down on sending out too much salt water to increase your blood pressure, but it will calm it down. But if you freak out and think, oh, there's something wrong with me, I'm broken, there's, I need to go to see the doctor, there's, I'm not normal and no one else is like me, or I'm, you know, I'm sick, I'm brain diseased, I'm broken, the minute you have that attitude and you see those things as scary symptoms to be suppressed, or scary illnesses to be suppressed rather, is then you, the 1400 neurophysiological responses will work against you. So for example, now the blood vessels around your heart will constrict instead of dilating, less blood flow, less oxygen to your brain, increased hypertension and so on. And if you get in that pattern, you wire those negative toxic patterns in your brain and then you get triggered very easily. But you can, with mind management, recognize those and unwire them. And it starts with, as I said, the kindness factor, the recognition that you can be empowered to make this change. The science is there. You've done it in the past. If you dig back, there's times that you've coped. So there's evidence in your own life. You may not have known the details and analyze it as scientifically, but there is evidence and context of where you have coped. So you've got a door on those. But then you can start diving specifically into mind management. And mind management, there's preparation, then there's the actual process, there's timing, there's lots to it. And it's all in detail in my book. But the essential process is, first of all, to gather awareness.
After I love that. And I'm sorry, Dr. Leaf, I thought you were done there. I love this so much. And this is a topic that is near and dear to Jonna and my heart. We're getting close to the point where we need to wrap up. You had just mentioned your book. If you could let our listeners know the title again and where they can get your book and where they can find out more about you and your wisdom.
Absolutely. The book's called Cleaning Up Your Mental Mess. I've written many. This is my most recent book, and they can get it wherever books are sold. We also have it on our site, drleaf.com. And we've got a special this month with Mental Health Month with another, paired up with another book I wrote recently called 101 Tips. And I've got an app called to Control Stress. I've got an app called the NeuroCycle app that walks you through this whole process as well. So it's on an app, and it's like me giving you therapy. My Instagram handle is Dr. Caroline Leaf, and my podcast is also called Cleaning Up Your Mental Mess. So there's lots of places to get help.
This is awesome. Dr. Leaf, thank you so much. I love this for a number of reasons, you know, not the least of which is a lot of people reach for a prescription when they feel like they need to manage their mental mess. And you don't always have to go in that direction. I'm very much looking forward to your book. And thank you so much for being a guest with us today. We're wrapping up with Dr. Caroline Leaf. She's just amazing, but I urge you to check out her book, Cleaning Up Your Mental Mess, 5 Simple Scientifically Proven Steps to Reduce Anxiety, Stress, and Toxic Thinking. Dr. Leaf, thank you very much.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for letting me join you today.
Yes, Dr. Leaf, much appreciated. And, you know, just listening right now, I'm saying to myself, I can hear Dr. Leaf saying to me, Frankenberry, put down the beer. Jack, the beer. There's other ways to manage your mental mess.
So, I love that.
Thank you very much. You're listening to Happy Hour here. Thanks again to Dr. Caroline Leaf. We've got John Spilborg, Carol Pesci, and we are one segment away, so from being done, which means we're not done, so that means you have to come back with us. This is K104.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And we're back one more time here on K104 with Happy Hour. Jonna Spilborg and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hello.
Frankenberry.
Frankenberry.
Now that.
You know what I think, Carol? I think at this point, it's no longer whether you two get it right. It's just that little time when everything's quiet. Nailed it. That's what we're going on.
There's got to be a delay because I don't know what's going on.
And you know, we could even make a big deal out of it. We could have Jonna say, Frankenberry. And Carol, you could come in like 3 days later, Frankenberry. And then we'll just have a little tiny... Nailed it.
Well, we did. I look forward to maybe when we're in a studio together again. But before we move on, I think, you know, she's one smart cookie, this Dr. Caroline Leaf, by the way. Tons of books she's written. And you know, we can all use to clean up our mental messes because As she mentioned, our mental, you don't just have one mental mess, fix it and you're good. You know, mental messes right. can happen repeatedly, depending on what's going on. And so it's always nice to do a little cleanup between your ears from time
and,
to time.
And, you know, and it seems overwhelming because we all are guilty of having the hamster wheel and the monkey mind and overthinking stuff. I think it's an epidemic these days. But to take something that seems like a quagmire, like a swamp of so many variables, and to break it down into five steps that you can universally apply is brilliant.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And she was good. So I'm gonna get the book, because I think sometimes I have more than one mental mess per day.
Well, you have brought up quite often that the little PC between your ears is having some difficulties with too much information lately. So, yeah.
Isn't that something? But don't you love, like, this is a little bit off topic, but I find, and I still think my memory is good. It's not like I'm 90 years old, but I can relax when I know I have crap to do and I write it down. Like, I use my notes program a lot and I just write it down. I can relax because now I don't have to worry about remembering it. Like, it's a technique, and it's very helpful to me.
Oh, absolutely.
You guys don't do that?
I less so lately, because I've just been dialing back on being obsessive and a worry wart and just settling down a little bit. It's working good for me. And but I totally get that when you have a lot of things, and especially somebody like you with your schedule and your level of responsibility, that when it pops in your head and you're like, oh yeah, I gotta remember to do that. So you have the thought, then you have the pressure to remember to do that. That it absolutely is beneficial to get it out of your head and down on paper. And when I'm feeling a sense of overwhelm, which is less and less lately, that's exactly what I do. Start list making.
Yeah, you see, now I don't make the list as much. I will occasionally shoot myself a text, but I do a list. I just do it in my head. I know when it's the weekend, for instance, I know what I need to do on Monday, and I know that I have finished everything I needed to finish by Friday, so I'm good. I get to Monday, I do my Monday stuff. I have it in my head that I know what I got to do Tuesday, and then I just keep moving forward. You know, so the only thing that bothers me is, you know, when the unprepared jumps in, you know, or the thing I'm unprepared for jumps in and throws off my kind of well-calculated week, you know. And I think that's, Jonna, you know, maybe you just had a bunch of too much stuff popping into your head at once, you know, that wasn't on the list.
Jonna, you use the notes app for that?
Yeah, all the time. You know why? Because it's you put it on your notes app on your phone, and then it automatically ends up on your tablet, on your Mac. It's great. It's awesome.
Okay. So the app that I use that I absolutely love is Microsoft To Do. It used to be Wunderlist.
Oh.
And it's fantastic. So right on your phone, you have, so this is, I'm not talking to you for right now. I'm talking to Frankie Berry. It's great for grocery lists, Frankie Berry. But seriously, you could have different categories. So if there's something that pops up during the week, I'm like, oh, that'd be great for the radio show. I have a radio show list, and then I would say, oh, talk about when I ran away like a sissy girl from the bear, and different things I want to remember. But what's cool, if your sound is on your phone, and this is silly but gratifying, like when I'm in the grocery store and as soon as I think of it, I put it on my grocery list. When you're done with it, bing, click it off, bing, bing. So you can have all different categories for different responsibilities in your life.
But you get a satisfying bing sound.
Yes. Hey, it's the little things.
Yeah, it is the little things. I'm with you on the little things.
That is hilarious.
And you know, this is one of the reasons, and I did write a post about it, and I think it's actually kind of a funny post, but this is one of the reasons when I have a website pop up and tell me that I have to change my password that I get so freaking mad. Because you know
why?
Well, because I don't want to change my password.
I get
my password.
There.
Okay, I got plenty of stuff that I'm trying to remember on a daily basis. Your password is in there. I got no problems checking into my payroll and clocking into the time clock. No issues. Now you're telling me I got to change my password? Look, if you're my bank, okay, fine. Give me a nice reminder. You're my payroll site. What is somebody going to do? Hack into it and change my clock in times?
Maybe.
Or see how much I make and cry for me and start a GoFundMe page? No.
Perhaps.
It's not a website for my security that needs a new password. Ever. So it's those kind of things that jump in that make me nuts. Don't give me the extra thing I got to think about or write down or remember that I don't need to in the first place.
Frank and Barry.
I kind of get you there. I feel you.
Frank and Barry.
Jonna.
Just make your new password same as the old password. Duh.
You can't.
No, they don't let
you. Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Well,
just say, change used, like one letter. Was recently used.
Change one letter to a capital.
Well, no. Now,
do you remember?
Now they have all the caveats, you know, that say you got to have a symbol, you got to have a cap, you got to have a number, you got to have a small town in Bulgaria, you've got to have, you know, the capital of Iowa, all in your password now, and it's just too much. So, but no, you can't have the same one, quote unquote. It's not going to work.
Do you guys remember one of our favorite Jeannie Kelly stories?
Yes.
Oh my God!
Very much so.
So I can dance around this a little bit. I can't totally tell it on air, but I guess I think her mother had to get on her computer or something, yeah. And she wasn't there, and she was on the phone, and the password was dirty.
Very much so.
Very, very.
And so
very
she was spelling it out in like two or three letters at a time.
Fan of something.
Yeah, and she was spelling it out two or three letters at a time, hoping her mother wouldn't really realize what it said altogether, but she's no genie.
Yeah, that's some desperation right there.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God, that's the best. Well, one of these days, we got to do our radio show off the air, but like with a live audience, but not broadcast, so we don't get in trouble and tell that story.
Oh, God.
Oh, God, it's so good.
That is a funny story.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay, Mom, I want you to type an I.
Now, Frank Barry's going to get a Facebook message from Denise saying, what's the story?
Exactly.
You can tell her.
I know I can. So Denise, if you are listening to segment number 3 right now, you can ask me that question via messenger, and I will give you the answer.
Denise is Uber fan.
Yes.
Yeah. Uber fans can hear the inside scoop off the air. That could be our thing.
That's right. You can be.
You there
can
you go. Hey,
VIP, and we'll give you this inside scoop. Yeah.
John, is your reno complete? Are you all done? No, all your railings up?
Reno inside is done. Reno outside, not so much. Well, I shouldn't say that. The exterior of my house is done, except for a couple of little things that need fixing. But did I tell you guys I have a giant, I mean, ski slope size giant mound of dirt in my backyard? That's supposed to get filled in and grassed up and make my backyard look like a park. I put that in air quotes because that's what the promise was to me. And it's just this giant pile of, I mean, giant, like stories. It's, I don't know. It's very, very tall. Taking up my entire backyard. And it's unattractive and annoying.
Well, I mean, they got to start somewhere.
It's been there for about 4 months.
Okay, so when was the phone call made to say, what are you guys doing?
Every week. It's me.
Okay. Frankenberry, you think she's going to be shy about speaking up?
Oh, no. That's why I'm 4 months actually surprised the heck out of me. I'm surprised Jonna hasn't, you know, didn't drive down there and crawl up somebody's butt and say.
Every week.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I know. And, you know, if I owned a backo, I would take care of this myself. But it's.
What'd you call it?
Did you say backo?
That's exactly what she said.
You did. What is it called? Is it backhoe?
Say it again.
No.
What?
Backhoe.
No, John. It's a backhoe.
Back?
A backhoe.
No, a backhoe, Jonna.
Don't you call me a hoe.
Back it up, hoe.
That's right. Baby got back.
Hoe. Spell it, Jonna.
B-A-C-K-O-E. Backhoe.
Oh my God.
You didn't even spell it wrong correctly. Oh my God. It was like backaco or something. Oh my God.
Whatever.
Oh boy.
What are you gonna do?
I guess backhoe is not a common term you use in your law office.
No. Backhoe. Or my life.
Right. Your dad's a painter. He's not a construction guy. So he's not, you know, dropping the word backhoe all the time around you.
Oh, God. Backhoe.
But sorry, backhoe. You know.
Backhoe. Why don't you ask me how to spell condiment next? Okay? Because I ain't good at that either.
All right. Well, fine. You know what? And right after that, I'll call my Aunt Lib and I'll ask her how to spell spaghetti.
Uh-huh.
You suck.
Everybody's got skills, Spielberg.
You started it.
All right. Well, I think that's a wrap.
I think so. We are just going to,
Frank Berry, it's a rapo.
That's right. It's a rap.
No, it's a rap. R-A-P.
We are just going to take whatever's left of this show and backo it out of here.
And our dignity.
All right. Anyway, for John Spielberg, for Carol Pesci, to Dr. Leaf for joining us earlier. Thank you very much. And of course, to you all for taking the time to listen in. We appreciate it.
And you know what? We'll be backo next week.
That's right. That's right. This is K104. Oh, have a good week.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spielberg and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104online.com.